deepest, most masculine voice. And this voice says, "It's me, come on in." To the darkness and the heat and the voice. At which point, a little bit of common sense, there was one occasion, came in and said, "No, you come out." Open doors can be scary. Again, I'm on the phone to the police, first name terms, with the police on a good sense, and getting folks out. There are doors that are opened that Jesus says no one can close. But in those moments when there is an open door, what will you do? Will you stand this side of it? Or will you step through and step into something? He opens doors that no one can close, and he closes doors that no one can open. I wonder if some of the reason that some of you feel as though you're, sorry guys on the camera, that you're kind of feeling as though trying to get through and I can't get through it, maybe it's because God's closed it. Maybe you want to get through it and Jesus giving it no. You know, the Apostle Paul had that, doesn't he? He thought he had a good idea. He thought he was going to go. But the Spirit of God prevented me from going. He closed the door. We need to look and see what doors are open and what doors are closed. And if there's a door that's closed, maybe it's a door that God doesn't want you to go through, and you need to stop banging in that door because all you're doing is getting bruised knuckles and frustrated. We need to be seeing and we need to be hearing. Jesus comes and says, "I want to give you confidence that when I open the door, you move through it and you move through with confidence." He says that he comes, he says, "I am the one who is holy and who's true, who holds the key of David, and what he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds." Now that's either going to thrill you with great joy or great fear that he knows your deeds. We'll get to that later. He is holy and he is true. He is God and he is truth. He has overcome death, hell, and the grave. He is the resurrected Jesus. He is God's Messiah, your Savior. And he is true. You can be trusted. When the door is open, but you can't see where he's leading you to, but you know that he's leading you, you can have a confidence that he is leading you and he is true. He is trustworthy. It says there that I have got the key. I hold the key of David. Now, this is back in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 22. It says, "I will place the key of David upon his shoulder." And that would be a symbolic thing. That would almost be like symbolism, saying, "I give you the authority of the city that would have been given." But this was a messianic statement that from back in Isaiah, 700 odd years before Jesus came, says this would be one of the hallmarks of Messiah, is that he will have authority. Jesus has authority to heal the sick, to set the captive free, to bring the sinner close to the Father, to make them be saved, but enable them to be saved by grace. And he says, "I'll place the key of David upon his shoulder." It's like a knighthood, like a mantle, a symbol that's there of a great authority. And as Jesus calls us through to this next place, through to the place of the open door, he says, "I give authority to you," because Jesus said that. Yeah. "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." How are we doing? We're entering through the portal of God's invitation, God's opportunity, in order that we may go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Baptismal service, 18th of November. Put it in your diary. And if you've not been baptized, come and see me or get a form that's out the front. Love to help you in that. There's an invitation from heaven that says, come, step through, but step into a greater authority in God. But I want to tell you, it's more than the authority. Do you know what it is, church? It's to be where Jesus is. And it's great that he gives us authority. It's great that he empowers us and he enables us. But guys, the best thing, the greatest thing of the invitation to step through the door that he opens is that we will be where Jesus is. At the heart of our discipleship, at the heart of all the journey that we can be on, is the fact that we can be the place where our best friend is. that we can be in the place where our Savior is, that we can be in the place where our King is, and he invites us to be with him. You know, he called the 12 disciples to be with him. It's the core of our relationship. See, what the Father gives to the Son allows us to share in. It's his righteousness that we stand complete in. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing, and then he passes it on to us. Why? Because we've been with him. What was it that stood the apostles out when they stood before the chief priests and the rulers of the day? Was it the fact that they were looking sharp in their togas and tunics? Was it they were wearing their best sandals? Was it they'd washed their face and cleaned their hands that day? No, they saw that these were poor fishermen and that they had been with Jesus. Can I invite you to come through the door, the open door? Can I invite you to be with Jesus? The authority flows out of that. The faith to move mountains comes out of that place of being with Jesus. He allows us to share in his righteousness. He allows us to share in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, or in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We read about that in 1 Corinthians. We read about it in Romans. We read about it in Ephesians. It is the gift. It is his reign and his rule of his kingdom. It's in our lives that then begins to spill out of our life and through our lives to enable us to think like Jesus, to enable us to speak like Jesus, to enable us to behave like Jesus, to enable us to act like Jesus. We up for some of this, church? See, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, as Peter stands in front of Cornelius's house, this Roman foreigner, Gentile man that shouldn't have been up to that point part of the kingdom of God, part of the family of God, about to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in his dialogue with them, in his sermon to them, Peter says, Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. You're with him, but I tell you what, he's with you. You're with him, your desire is to be with him, but in return he says, I will be with you. Yeah. To the very ends of the earth, he'll be with you. Yeah. What does that look like for you? What's your ends of the earth? What's the ends of your earth and where you live? What's the ends of the earth in your thinking and your behavior and the opportunities that God would want to give you? Wherever it is, wherever you go, he will be with you. Better not do that. I'll be having to get another pair. The resurrected Jesus calling out to his church, inviting and commanding them to experience the adventure into his preferred plan for their lives with fresh authority. The adventure of his preferred plan for their lives. Who knows that lots in God is conditional? Yeah. Our salvation, it's true, can't be snatched from us. Yeah. But what we do, how we live our life, the decisions we make that then has the consequences, the blessings of God are doing our own thing. Will we step into his preferred plan for our lives with his authority from heaven? This is opportunity, it's also overcoming. Stepping through the open portal, the open door that he opens. John writes to the church in a city that was actually known, he speaks about doors, but this city was known as the gateway to the east. It's all about doors of opportunity in God. Philadelphia was some 50 kilometers southeast of Sardis. It was originally in the orbit of the city of Pergamum, and the name commemorates the brotherly love between Attalus II and Eumenes II. See, it makes me sound educated, doesn't it? It's amazing what you can find online. See, Rome, and in books, Rome tried to turn Attalus against his brother in the second century before Christ. But he wouldn't do it. Attalus stood strong with his brother. That's why it's called the city of brotherly love. Because when somebody came whispering, saying, oh, do this, move away from them, don't do that, with a temptation of something great, he said, no, I'm going to stick with what I know to be true. And that's why it was known as the city of brotherly love, which is the meaning of Philadelphia. It was a city that was renamed twice in the first century after Emperor Tiberius and also the wife of Vespasian, because they came and they helped the city when it was a time of crisis. It was on a fault line. It experienced a number of earthquakes. And yet they needed a bailout. They needed a helping hand. They needed somebody to to do that. And in tribute to these emperors, they renamed the city. So I wonder whether this is a city with an identity crisis. It's on shaky ground. Who am I? Where are we? What's going to happen next? Not really sure about their future. And Jesus says, I'm opening a door that's going to stay open. It's a small church. It's a good quality. It's facing some difficult days. It's a church that hadn't really received brotherly love from outside of the church. In fact, the synagogue of Satan had kicked them out and had rejected them and had persecuted them. And it begs the question, how are we going to react? How are we going to remain in the right attitude when others don't do well by you? Will you let Jesus bring honor to you? Will you let Jesus represent you in that situation as you don't run away, as you don't necessarily get aggressive? But what it says there is, I have seen. You know, it says you've got little strength, yet you have kept my word. You've not denied my name. It says you've endured patiently. You've endured patiently. Church, how's your patience threshold? How are you doing in patience? It's a word for somebody this morning. To endure patiently. It's not a comfortable, but it is a comfortable place to be because you're there with the Lord. Remember, he calls you through that open door. He is with you. He is for you. He gives you an authority in the middle of it all. But what he says is he gives a reward, and the reward for faithful service is greater service. Elsewhere in the Gospels, whenever it speaks of open doors, it's always an opportunity for the gospel. Sure. They're facing persecution. Those moments where they'd almost want to shrink back and shrivel up and say, you know, we're just going to hold the fort. We're just going to stay here and try and just hold on, and maybe they'll not catch us. Maybe they'll not get us, and maybe. And yet Jesus says, I'm opening a door for you. I want you to walk through it. I want you to step into this moment. I've seen where you've been. I've seen how you've lived. I've seen your patient endurance. I've seen your sense of weakness that you've got there, or some of the translations say that you lack power. And if you lack power, then I know where you can get greater power. Jesus says it. You receive power from on high, Acts chapter 1, verses 48, when the Holy Spirit wait in the gift that your Father has promised. Come, step through, step into, trust the Lord in the middle of it all. There are opportunities. Listen, when you step through the door, listen, open doors in the New Testament are always speaks of gospel opportunity. Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, he says, a great and effective door is open for me. 1, 2, 3. Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9 says, for a great and effective door is open to me. And there are many adversaries. This is Paul writing about Ephesus, the place where he stayed the longest, the place where there was a riot, you know, on a day of ministry. And he says, God's opened a door for me. Some of us think God opens a door for us, it's like, you know, scattered with rose petals and it's just going to be wonderful. The greater anointing, the greater authority that he gives us is to enable us to overcome in that new thing. And that new thing might mean that there are more opportunities for you. But when there are opportunities, it's probably because there's a problem, there's a difficulty, there's an issue, isn't it? But you're with Jesus. You're not facing it on your own. There are opportunities and there are adversaries. You know, keeping that door open. To keep a door open, you need a wedge. It's a wedge that's often under the door. Now, you can throw a wedge. Sorry, guys, again, that's on the camera. You can either throw a wedge, and you can keep a door open an inch, or you can throw it right the way open under. And it stays open. I want to ask you, where's your wedge? How's your wedge? How's the wedge? How open is the door? Will you keep your door open? Will you have a confidence in who Christ is and what he does? You see, Christ is our concierge, but he's also our bouncer. You go down to the Balmoral Hotel and the Caledonian as well. You go down to either of these great hotels, either end of Princes Street, you know, and there will be a tartan trued man. Nothing against tartan trousers. I prefer the kilt, though. You know, standing at the door, and they will open the door to let you in. When I was a housing officer, there was concierge stations when CCTV and mobile or door entry systems came in and stuff like that, you know, and these guys were paid to watch the videos to make sure that those who were had authority to enter into were allowed to enter in. Jesus is also our divine bouncer.
Yeah.
You ain't getting in.
Right. Okay.
You aren't getting past.
Yeah.
Where do you think you're going? Part of our problem is that we want to give the Lord the day off at times. And we let that, let him in. Let that wrong thought in. Let that old habit, that old behavior in. Let that criticism come in. Let that greed come in. Let that pride come in. Let that gossip come in. And all of a sudden we're letting guests in that weren't invited. We need to allow the Lord to be the bouncer that says, you're not getting in. And we need to allow the Lord to be the bouncer that says again, you know, that door's shut, you're not going there. To be that bouncer, he's the concierge, the door opener into greater things in God, but the blessed bouncer that makes sure we stay safe. The Philadelphia's church's wedge is that they are weak, but stubborn in the right sense. They haven't let go. And if they haven't let go in God, the door has remained open. They've kept God's word. They have owned his name. They've been his witnesses. And it says they've endured patiently. They have waited well. Guys, can I encourage you that in your life that you would build those things in? That in moments of weakness, that you would remember that in your moment of weakness that he is strong. That you would keep God's word in a world that's not interested in God's word. You don't live by the world's standards. You live by God's standards. It means you don't go the world's way. You own his name, you bear and be his witness. Endure patiently, wait well, knowing that your salvation is already secure in Jesus, knowing that he is with you and that he is for you and that he will make a way to overcome.
Yeah.
This is a church that hasn't given up or tapped out of the opposition's chokehold that's on them.
Yeah,
last week, Conor McGregor was losing to a chokehold in the UFC. Mixed martial arts fighting. This guy who's worth millions, who shoots his mouth off and says this, that, the next thing, and then he gets put in a chokehold and he's got to tap out. I want to tell you, this is a church that even though it feels as though it's in a chokehold from the authorities, from the religious powers, and from maybe supernatural powers as well, it has not tapped out. Can I encourage you, if you feel as though you're in a chokehold right now, and feel as though you're getting ready to tap out, you don't need to tap out. He is with you and he is for you. And he says, God bless you for waiting and enduring patiently. God bless you, you know, for not giving up, for holding on to the things of God. They haven't given up and they haven't tapped out to the opposition's chokehold because they know the eyes of Jesus. Now, I don't just mean the blazing eyes of Jesus that John speaks about in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 14. They know the eyes of Jesus. They have heard his eyes. Now, let me explain what I mean. They've heard his eyes. In 6 verses, Jesus declares some specific things to that church and he says, I. And the thing that helps them to overcome in that moment, the thing that helps them to hold on and to patiently endure is the fact that Jesus says to his church, open your ears now, guys. I know your deeds. Jesus brings reassurance. Anybody needing reassurance this morning?
Yeah.
He knows your deeds. He says, I have set before you an open door. He gives you opportunity. You up for some opportunity, church? Jesus gives you opportunity. He says, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan. He says, those who are doing bad things against you, it's not going unnoticed.
Yeah.
He is the judge. He's a righteous judge. We will all give an account for our lives. But he says, I've seen them. I am the judge. He says, I will make them come and worship at your feet. Not worship you, worship the Lord. That's really, really important. Otherwise, we can get filled with pride and that never good.
Yeah.
He wants to bring honor
sure.
in your life and situation. Some of you need to write these down and keep them up somewhere in your house because you need to remind yourself of these things. He wants to bring reassurance. He wants to bring opportunity. He wants to know that he sees and he'll bring judgment. He wants to know that he will bring honor to your name and his name through you. He says, I have loved you. Undeserved, but welcome. Let's just pause for a little minute there. King of the world, Savior of the whole world, says to this church, I've loved you. If you get nothing else out of this morning, which is always a possibility. All right. Always a possibility to know this morning that you are loved by God. To know that you are loved by Jesus. That he loved you enough to come to this world, to walk this world, to commit no sin, to be fully God, fully man, and yet to surrender himself to the hands of sinful men so that he would die on a cross, be tortured and executed on a cross, shed his blood so that your sin and your wrong before God would be forgiven. So that you might have a fresh heart and a new hope from God. So you might know that when you die that you will spend your forever and ever and ever in the presence of the Lord. I have loved you. Receive it this morning. Act on it. Run into the arms of your Heavenly Father this morning. Say, I want it. I need it. I want to know what it is to be loved. Everything else that the world can throw at you and can try and say that you're this, you're that, next thing, you can leave here today saying, I am loved by God. Hallelujah. I am loved by God. I'm loved by Jesus. You've got to say yes to him. You've got to walk through that door of gospel opportunity that's there. And walking through that door, you bow your knee. You bow your knee and you make Jesus Lord, boss, master of your life. But he's also your best friend as well as being your Savior and the King of the world. Will you bow your knee? Will you give your life? Will you turn from your sin and will you come and will you follow Jesus? I have loved you. He says, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. Protection, but prepared, be ready when bad stuff begins to happen. He says, I am coming quickly. He puts a hope that there's a day beyond today. He says, I will make him a pillar, that he is Jesus who rewards. He wants to bring the people into a place of permanence and prominence, grounded in the presence of God. Now remember, this is a city that's used to earthquakes. That's used to things being shaken. Yeah. We've seen the devastation on TV of earthquakes in Indonesia and Sulawesi and what happens. I was WhatsApp and voice conversations with Cheryl out in Indonesia, and she said that they had a 6-point-something earthquake last week, and that their building, there's cracks on that building there as well. Yeah. Elam has released a relief offering, and that's going to be able for folks to be able to give to that. We'll talk about that in the e-news for next week or so. There'll be a bucket out in the foyer if you want to give towards stuff in Indonesia that's going on, earthquake relief after there. Because what's happening is that because it's a predominantly Muslim area, sure, the Muslims are getting aid, and often, not all the time, but often the Christians are not getting. It's word on the ground that's there. So that's an aside. I know your deeds, reassurance. I've set before you an open door, opportunity. I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, that's judgment, I will make them come and worship the Lord at your feet. He wants to give you honor. I have loved you, undeserved but welcome. I will also keep you from the hour of trial, protection and being prepared. I am coming quickly, bring hope. I will make him a pillar. I will reward you. Yeah. Now, there's no physical temple in heaven, right? John isn't at conflict with himself. There is no temple in heaven. Jesus, read Revelation, Jesus and the Father, the presence is everywhere. I will write on him the name of my God. He said, you are belonging to me. I will write on him the new name of the city of God. He says, your citizenship is assured in heaven. I will write on him my new name, a redeemed identity, potential fully released in the things of God. Remember, this is a city that's twice renamed. And he's saying, I'll write on you a name that will never be scrubbed out. Alvin, time for you to put your T-shirt on. I want to show you what Jesus says. I might have to buy Alvin a shirt after this as well. Here's what the Lord says to you. I will write on him the name of my God. Property of the living God. I know. That's God. Even though it looks something like a Catherine wheel that's there. He does it for you. He does it for you. I will write on him the name of the city of my God. Let's go up here. Hey. Destination. Not New York. New Jerusalem. Where are you going? We'll go for green. And the last one, I will write on him my new name. Not his new name, Jesus' new name.
Amen.
Now, when I read in my Bible the name and the title of Jesus, I read King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I think we're just going to put in, there we go. So when you're having surgery tomorrow, Alvin, this is the line that's going right, let's go. King of that cannot and will not be taken away. Amen. Cannot and will not be taken away. Regardless of what the world says, regardless of the lies that the enemy wants to throw at you and wants to tell you who you're not or what you are, as you are faithful to him, as you endure patiently, as you don't let go, as you rest in the fact that he loves you and that he is for you, as you begin to step through those open portals of doors that he beckons you to come from, to be a pillar that's there in the temple of God, that you are the property of the living God, that your destination is the new Jerusalem forever and ever in the presence of God, and the one who leads you, the one who is for you, the one who battles on your behalf. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Thanks, Al. When we watched Monsters, Inc. at the start, everything was in place for that one wee piece of the door that Sully, the big blue monster, you know, voiced by I think it was John Goodman, had to then put into the door. We saw Mike's hands that were all scratched and cut and scalps and things like that. You know, it's not a wee green scalped hand. It's a nail-pierced hand that opens the door for us. This speaks of his love, his commitment, his death, his resurrection towards you. And Jesus doesn't just put broken lives, it's not a broken door, it's a broken life that gets put back together. You may be thinking, I'm a mess. You may be thinking, my life's a mess. You know, you're able to come here and look all right on the outside, but inside you know that you're a mess. He put you back together. He loves you. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. He puts broken people back together. He gives a door of opportunity for you and for I today. What are you going to do with that? In these moments, just as the worship team come and join me back here, you've thank you for staying with us, remaining attentive throughout. This is a moment.